What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The busy, busy game week continues. Man, a lot of great interviews so far, and it's just Tuesday, leading up to a busy Friday night for a lot of the teams that we cover. Joining us now, Mike Brohard from CSURams.com and Ram Wire. Mike, my friend, good to catch up with you.
How you guys doing today?
Hey, we're hanging in there. It's Tuesday, so I can't complain. I'm psyched for Friday, though. Friday night's going to be a blast.
I am, too. I'm excited to see a football stadium with fans in it and people enjoying themselves and a game under the lights. It's just been a while.
Yeah.
Well, it just feels like it's been a really long time just with the absence of fans.
Yeah. No question about it. I mean, that maybe we shouldn't forget it, but I guess we do sometimes, is how much having those fans in the stands or the arenas, what have you, really just makes the experience.
Yeah, I think we saw that firsthand here on campus at CSU on Saturday with the volleyball team and the whiteout. We had more than 3,000 students, and that was pretty impressive. It was really impressive considering that, you know, Friday night was when the whiteout was supposed to be, and you would generally think you can draw a bigger crowd on a Friday. And when you have to kind of change gears and cancel a game, which was a reminder that we're not completely past the COVID situation, it was neat to see that many fans coming in, and they made – some noise. The players commented that was just indescribable having them back and just what it was. And it turned out to be the eighth largest crowd in Mountain West history and the second largest crowd between two non-ranked teams in volleyball. So it was a good sign.
Were you honestly, Mike, were you shocked by the crowd? Like you said, Friday night typically would be the time, and then Saturday we just make right up for it. Because I was looking at the pictures online. I wasn't in attendance, but just looking online, it was magical, man, just from the pictures.
Yeah, the pictures didn't do it justice. I mean, it was cool. They were streaming in. You know, if you've been to a basketball game or a volleyball game, you know the student section is the two ends of the floor. We had so many more students show up that we had to let them start moving into the middle parts of the seating arrangements. So that's how we had like an overflow student crowd. And that would be great if we got something like that for Friday night for the football game, too. But I was really impressed because you kind of don't know what's going to happen. You know, kids might have plans on a Saturday afternoon, but, you know, Friday night, then everything just got switched. You know, you're supposed to be there Friday, but they came back on Saturday. It was awesome. It really was.
That's a great point, too, because you're right. You could have different plans for Saturday, but the fact that, hey, everybody was able to reschedule and make it work, great sign going forward. And, yeah, I mean, everybody that talked to, we've had a couple of players on the last couple of weeks, Mike, and they're just so pumped for the football side of it and what could potentially be at Canvas. Like, I get goosebumps thinking about it. And, you know, I'm not even going to even get close to that football field. I'm really excited to see what the turnout looks like ultimately.
Yeah, I am too. And I know ticket numbers have been pretty good from everything I've heard. I haven't gotten anything firm from anybody, but everybody's told me that it's been a pretty nice brisk sell, and the students are being very active about it. So that's what we want to see.
Yeah, well, and you know, this is a good opponent, too. I mean, I think there might be some that see FCS and not get excited, but if you pay attention to football in any capacity, and the fact that we have an FCS team here in Greeley, there's a lot of Northern Colorado fans that do not take that FCS thing lightly, and they look at this and say, man, this was a team that was in the championship like 5 months ago. So this is going to have a lot of upsell to it, a lot of potential to be a fun game.
It does have the potential to be a lot of fun game because South Dakota State was a really good team last year, and they returned back a lot of key pieces. They will have a new quarterback, but it's a quarterback who's played at a couple different spots and is very athletic, can run, so he fits perfectly into their offense and what they're trying to do offensively. You know, it's a program run under a long-term coach. So I think that kind of nullifies some of the effects some programs might feel from playing so late into the spring and then not having really – an off season, so to speak, before you get back into and you're playing like normal in the fall. So that would be kind of interesting, but I think just the longstanding tradition of that program, the success that they've had over the years, that can kind of nullify some of that. But I also think, you know, I don't pay attention to stuff like this because, you know, compliance issues, but I believe the betting line even has CSU as an underdog, and I have a feeling some of the players find that to be a challenge and gives them a point that they need to go out and prove something right off the bat.
Boy, yeah, that's a great point, too, because if you weren't, and again, we're not saying that anybody was overlooking this team, but when you see it on paper like that, when you see that little negative sign or plus sign next to a number and it doesn't, it's not in your favor, it might just do something a little more, maybe ignite these guys. But I tell you, that should, as if they weren't motivated enough, right?
Yeah, you know, I think this whole, I think everybody used to scoff. They used to call these cupcake games, right? Most people scoff at, you know, an FCS team is coming in to play an FBS team. Well, you get the Appalachian States pulling off some of the stuff that they've done, the North Dakota State and the success that they've had over the years, things that South Dakota State's done. You just can't do that anymore. And so, especially if you're a group of five program, you can't look at it that way. And I don't think most teams do anymore. So I think some of the old style of thinking is really kind of out the window.
Yeah, no question about it, especially because we've seen these upsets and then they're blown up all over social media. You see those and then now we're just kind of used to it, especially early on in the season.
Now, well, that's when these games take place because they don't take place you know, outside of September. So, yeah, I mean, this is what you're looking for. It used to be the old school way of thinking, hey, let's get a win that gets us towards, you know, bowl eligibility. We'll schedule a smaller school. It still counts. We'll get the win and we'll move on and kind of get out of week one or week two without, you know, any physical ailments. But you know, it just really isn't the case anymore. I mean, a lot of these FCS programs, especially the really good ones, are going in and they're finding it harder to schedule these games because they're coming very regularly with wins.
We're talking to Mike Brohard, CSURams.com and RamWire. So is that that's got to be a tough thing. Like you said, September's the month, but game one, you're hoping that Rams fans view it exactly that way, which I think for the most part they do. But nonetheless, it does feel like, Mike, there's a lot of pressure on this game one, even though we're just excited to see football. But, you know, if this is a loss for the Rams by any stretch, I do think that, yeah, people are going to walk away going, okay, what's next?
Yeah, there's always that fear that you have going in. But from a coaching standpoint, you're just trying to get your team ready to play and get them better. And for this, especially this staff, they didn't really get a first year. Everything was kind of chopped up and convoluted with the global pandemic. They haven't really had a firm chance to establish what they want until you got to the spring. And then this team has been able to put in a consistent run of practices. You know, there weren't the delays. There weren't any hiccups, you know, during preseason camp. You know, you lost a couple of key guys to injury for the season, but those are things that normally happen. What you didn't have is groups or units of your team out because of contact tracing. And so you weren't really getting everything done that you wanted to. And so, you know, you've had a chance for the offensive line to actually meld together, become one, get tied in, you know who their top seven are and who they're going to play. Those are things that will all be positive. And I think it's given a chance for Adazio and his staff to really firmly lay groundwork that they didn't get a chance to do, you know, the 12 months prior.
And I've talked to you about this before. I'm excited about a lot of aspects coming up on Friday. I certainly want to see how Toddy Senteo performs, this offensive line moving people around. But last year, we got a glimpse, maybe, as to what this defensive unit can be. And I'm pumped to just see this whole thing, like, throughout the course of the season, how good this defense can really be.
Yeah, and it really does start with the defensive front. And everybody knows the four starters are back, and they're really good. And you know, you lead the nation in tackles for loss per game, and you're fourth in the nation in sacks. You know, you improved run defensively enough to the point where you were top 12 in the nation. You're only averaging 108 yards allowed per game. Those are all great starts. Then you start moving back. The linebackers are pretty solid. The secondary is kind of beat up in places, but it's also young where they have some depth. So you've got to develop some of that. You've got to hope that the defensive line takes a lot of pressure off of the secondary. That's what you hope for with a really good pass rush, is that they create some mistakes in the back end that even young players can take advantage of. So there's still some development to take place there, but it starts in a really good spot. If you have a really stout defensive front, which Colorado State does, it can make things much easier to improve.
Mike, did you get a chance last weekend? We did have a few college football games, and I think three Mountain West teams played. Did you get a chance I know you're busy all the time, especially with the volleyball weekend. Did you get a chance to look much into those, or at least the box scores?
Yeah, like I was, I saw a little bit. I didn't get to see any of the Illinois-Nebraska game, but I saw what was happening on Twitter. I did go home because I wanted to watch San Jose State play.
Yeah.
Even though they were playing Southern Utah, I turned that game with, I think, I turned it off with like 10 minutes to go in the second half because they're already up like 35-7. There wasn't much more to see. That's what some people hope when you play a smaller school is going to happen. But that's, you know, CSU can't look at their game that way. Like we talked about, but no, you know, San Jose State, they still look really good with Nick Sturkle, a quarterback, and they've got weapons on offense, and that'll be Colorado State's, you know, Mountain West opener after the bye, after the September of non-conference games.
Yeah, that team could be pretty darn scary too. And, well, I'm curious to see what happens with Boise State coming up on Thursday night, going against UCF. So, you know, with the new coach, new situation there for Boise State, will they be just like, you know, pick up just like that, or are they going to have some growing pains?
Yeah, I mean, for Boise State, when you look at it, they've already announced that Hank Bachmeier's back. He'll play quarterback, which is good for them. Gives them, but yeah, you are looking to see what changes take place with the coaching change. I'll watch that game, and they've got a, you know, a really good foe in UCF right off the bat. So that's a nice game. Those are the fun games that you look forward to. You know, the opening week, you don't get them all the time, but you look for those, you know, really good matchups and teams that you think could maybe be ranked or be really good or definitely, you know, going to be going to bowl games. So yeah, I'm just like everybody else. If I'm not at CSU watching what they're doing on the football field, you know, like Friday nights, I know a lot of high school people don't like the fact that colleges are playing on that, but for me, my standpoint, that means Saturday I can probably sit in front of the TV and watch a bunch of college football. I like it. I mean, I'm still a fan.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there, too. One last one for you on the kind of the outside of, you know, looking on at Brian Harsin moving on to Auburn. I think that's an interesting dynamic, too. Brian Harsin, of course, Mike Bobo as the offensive coordinator. They obviously developed a pretty good respect for each other when they played each other in the Mountain West.
I think they did. And I think Mike Bobo's reputation of being really an offensive kind of mastermind, whatever you want to call him, genius, whatever. He's very tuned offensively. I mean, he did some things at CSU offensively that were pretty impressive considering some of the tools that they had. They were a little weak on the offensive line for those last couple of years, and the fact that they could still somewhat score 30 points a game was pretty remarkable. So, yeah, I think there was a respect built somewhere along the way, and the fact that with Harsin going to the SEC for the first time, having a coordinator who had head coaching experience but it also been an offensive coordinator in that league was probably a huge draw and why he turned to Mike Bobo.
Yeah, that's a great point there. Mike, appreciate it, man. Looking forward to a fun Friday night. It's going to be action-packed. Can't wait. And we'll look to catch up with you in the aftermath next week.
It sounds good.
All right, man. Mike Brohar, CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. All right. UCLA beat up on Hawaii pretty badly yesterday, 44-10. Saturday, Fresno State just destroyed UConn, 45-0. And Fresno State might be pretty darn good as well. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'll read some more texts. We got to wrap up Top Text Tuesday as well. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.